This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD, online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
And good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum. The election race is for the Marshfield Select Board. We have two candidates here in studio, Jim Kilcoyne and Joe Pasevich, both vying for one open seat. Marshfield 10 election is May 15th. I'm your moderator, Christine James, joined by Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tachi. He'll be here momentarily. And we've got our reporter, Charles Mathewson, and here from the Mariner, we've got James Cuskis. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Hope I didn't mangle your name there.
Close enough.
Okay, thank you. And here in studio, we've got Amy Leonard. She'll be doing the timing on everything. We also have Marshfield Community Television. Thank you so much for joining us. And of course, our engineer here, Larry Nelson. Now, the format is simple. We use the same format every time at WATD. We've been doing these forums for many years. We've asked the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements ready. No longer than 2 minutes open and a 1 minute close, please. Then we do a round of questions from the reporters. And then we ask them to please stick to a minute for their answer. We do a lightning round where the answers are either yes or no, or one or two sentences. Why do we do this? Because we find just about no one running for political office can do that. So that's why we like to ask that question. We like to make people get to the point and keep it brief. If you consistently go over, ramble, or start to repeat yourself, you get the bell. And if you keep talking, then we cut your mic. Now, we chose opening and closing order out of the official WATD stand-in newsroom koozie. Again, the original one stolen at the end of the last election season. We're still looking for it. We don't know if it was a disgruntled candidate or reporter. So
it wasn't me.
Okay. I'll take you at your face value there. Thank you, Charles Mathewson. So we're going to start with Joe Pasevich. Then we're going to go to Jim Kilcoyne. And at the end of the forum, we're going to reverse order. So let's say good evening again, and let's start with our opening statements. Good evening, Joe Pasevich.
Good evening, Christine. And thanks to you and to all the folks here today for putting this on. I hope there's a lot of listeners out there, and we can give you a little bit of an education about who we are. First off, I want to start off by saying happy Patriots Day. It's not given the attention that it should be given. We have to remember the individuals that brought this day, the people that took on the tasks and the responsibilities, bolstered by their and founded in their faith. They did the things, they stepped up and did the things that ultimately brought about the great USA. And it could think of all the people from those days, Robert Newman, John Pulling, Paul Revere, all the personalities. They all did these things individually. They took things on themselves. And this highlights the importance of the individual in our system, in our society, and in our government. They didn't know how things would turn out. And you may not know how things are going to turn out, but that shouldn't keep you from participating. That's an important message. Now, why am I running? First of all, I'm Joe Pasevich. My family's been in this town since the late 50s when they bought property down here. I love this town. I've been around the world. I've worked around the world. I keep coming back here. I love this town. I'm going to use my skills and my knowledge to do what I can to make this a better place for our people and for our children. There's a problem, though, we have. And my opponent, by labeling me a complainer recently, sort of highlights this and illustrates this. Many don't realize that until town government needs your help, they do not keep themselves open to your thoughts. And as a result, they are not working proactively for the things that are important to the residents, like their environment and their purses and their pocketbooks. One way that town government shuts people out and does not address concerns is look at the selectmen's meetings. They don't allow public participation. Increasingly, people are feeling disillusioned and just disconnected from town government. And underlying all this right now is we're all being exposed to a national narrative and regarding COVID virus. And we need to come together.
That was 2 minutes. Thank you very much. That was Joe Pasevich. And I just have a quick correction to make. The Marshfield Town election is May 1st. Thank you very much. That was courtesy of the Marshfield Mariner. Now let's go to our opening statement for Jim Kilcoyne. Good evening.
Hi, evening. Yes, I'd like to thank WATD and anyone else that involved in hosting this event this evening. Thank you very much. I'd like to use this time to tell you a bit about myself, my personal history, and then why I'm running. First, my name's Jim Kilcoyne. I'm running for the open seat for the Marshfield Select Board. I'm the proud father of my daughter, Angelina. I've been a law-abiding, tax-paying Marshfield resident for 40 years. I was raised in Scituate. My dad was a clerk magistrate in Hingham District Court, and my mom was a nursery school teacher. I graduated from the University of Massachusetts with honors, with a degree in science, economics, and business. I spent my entire career in the medical device industry, retiring as a director of cardiac surgery for two divisions with international responsibility for Canada and leading a $45 million business. The last 6 years I've served as a citizen volunteer on the Conservation Commission, and the last three I was elected by my peers as chairman. As to why I ran for the select board, those are always personal decisions. Back then, my life was very busy with family, work demands. I'm sure a lot of people understand this because they're doing it today. It's hard to volunteer and serve in the town. You're trying to balance your work, your children, sports, homework, aging parents. But during all those years, someone took care of this town. And they stepped up when I couldn't. Now it's my time to give back and say thank you to those who served before. I have the energy, the time, the expertise, and I would like the opportunity to serve this wonderful town as a member of the Select Board.
Thank you very much. That was Jim Kilcoyne, opening statement. Now let's go to questions. Let's go here to James Cuxis from The Mariner. Questions for the candidate, and who would you like to direct it to first?
Absolutely. Thanks, Christine. So the first question I have for you guys is one that's sort of basic. What we've been looking at a lot is the differences among the Marshfield Board of Selectmen versus the Boards of Selectmen in neighboring towns. And one thing that stands out is the size of Marshfield's at 3 versus 5. Like most neighboring towns have 5. And even though those are smaller towns population-wise, Hingham and Marshfield are the only ones with 3. So would you support expanding the board to 5 people from as of 3? And do you think that would increase the diversity of voices on the board?
Let's start with Joe. And remember, keep your answers to 1 minute.
Yes, I'd be supportive of that. And you're right. It would increase diversity of ideas and backgrounds. It would allow. But you can't do that without including open debate. Right now, the way the town of Marshfield Board of Selectmen works, they function essentially as a rubber stamp. There is no debate and there is no public participation. In Kingston, they tried to do away. They have a 5-man Board of Selectmen. They tried to do away with public participation. What happened? 3 of the selectmen got bounced out. That's what I'm looking to do, is get people involved. Let there be public participation. And 5 is a good start also.
Okay. That was Joe Pasevic. Same question, Jim Kilcoyne.
Yes, I'd be very much willing to expand the number of select people on the select board. It's always better to have more than few. You're going to be able to represent the town better. You're going to be able to get out in the town more. You're going to be able to speak to the citizens more because there's more people. It also gives more opportunity for more people of different qualifications and capabilities of running and serving the town. And so I'd be very open to that. As far as allowing participation during the meetings, I don't know what's best for that right now. I'd have to get there and serve, but I can tell you how I do it as chairman of the Conservation Commission. And we always, at every hearing, allow public comment and public communication on every hearing. So I don't see how that could be that.
Can I respond to that?
Okay, 30 seconds.
Well, unfortunately, the only board right now in town is the DPW board that allows public interaction and back and forth. Under Jim Kilcoyne, the Conservation Commission has reduced public participation to only making comments that do not get addressed.
Okay. Jim, you want a 30-second response to that?
I don't think it's necessary. Every hearing, we allow public comment.
Okay. Question, Charles Mathewson, and we'll go to Kevin Tachi after that.
Guys, which village are each of you from? Joe?
I live in the Fieldston section.
Jim?
I live in the hills.
I have relatives down on Bay Ave and Green Harbor, though.
Thank you. Jim, you want to improve the pier, the seawalls, Veterans Park, and at the same time tighten the capital budget. Do those two need some reconciliation?
No. So you always borrow long for capital equipment budgets, and you use operation for short-term money for maintenance and things like that. That's just classic how you do it in business. Towns do it the same way. So we have a debt load within this town, and because this town is very well run now financially, our last bond for the schools, for the police station, DPW, and Seawalls in Council of Aging, we got around a 1.8% rate. Now, anyone knows, with inflation running at 2, if you can borrow money for less than it costs you to borrow it. You always borrow a loan for infrastructure projects. You want to cap the amount of money you spend every year on debt. And right now, the debt is projected to max out in 2022. And then it'll be declining at $2.5 million per year for the out years. So there's plenty of room within the budget to take on these projects. You know, why do people come to this town? Because they want it to be good.
Okay, thanks.
Joe.
Can I respond to that?
It's up to you.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
You know, the last override we had, we could have written a check for the senior center. You know, and we could have been a little bit tighter on some of the other expenditures. But this town is swimming in surpluses lately. They consistently underestimate the revenues in this town, and in effect, they keep the residents in the dark. We have had surpluses year after year after year, and yet our taxes keep going up, our real estate taxes keep going up, and our fees keep going up. This town is swimming in money, and they often will cry poor mouth. And yes, I am in favor of those projects you mentioned.
Okay, question for Joe.
Okay, Joe, how many times have you run for public office in this town?
Several times. Several times. I've run for selectman before.
Selectman, moderator, Board of Health, DPW?
Well, if you know the answer, then you can tell me.
Okay.
Because I don't know the exact
count. Well, I didn't know the exact one.
I do not give up.
So why are you running again now?
Because we need the people's voice inside the Board of Selectmen right now. The Board of Selectmen, again, acts without debate, without openness, without public participation. They act essentially as a rubber stamp. The town has a problem, again. And again, as I said, my opponent is labeling me as a complainer is a good illustration of the problem. They are not open to the thoughts of the average person, and as a result, they are not proactive on the quality of life issues that are important to the people. We don't hear about things like the FEMA maps or other projects until they come to us and ask for the money, and then often it's very much on a short notice. That's why I'm running again, because I still feel that we need a person's voice in the Board of Selectmen's office. And at the same time, again, as I was trying to say, overlaying all of this now is the COVID crisis and a fear that people have of just going outside.
Okay. It was 1 minute. Thank you.
And we want to bring people together.
Thank you. Kevin Chachi, good evening. Questions for candidates.
Absolutely. COVID-19 has changed our lives in so many different ways, including when it comes to running a business in Marshfield. If one doesn't already exist, should the town create a program that provides assistance in the form of tax breaks to small businesses and restaurants that were able to survive the pandemic?
Let's start with Joe.
You want to know if we can provide assistance?
Well, I'm saying, I don't know if there is a program that is currently available, but if there isn't, would you be for creating such a program?
Well, first we have to review where we are in this so-called, in the pandemic. Now, the selectmen passed a resolution on a state of emergency, and the town administrator tried to pass a policy on how to manage town personnel under the emergency, which is very questionable, probably illegal, and it is an ethics question involved in that, too, but that's another whole issue. First of all, we need to, see where we are in terms of the state of emergency. We've got to bring the Board of Health together with the selectmen and other town boards and committees to determine where we're going from this point forward. Right now, the only effect is that our First Amendment rights are being squelched. We're not participating. We're being discouraged from going to vote. Look, they want us to vote on a Saturday from 10 to 2. There's no reason for voting 10 to 2 on Saturday. Oh, they're so generous, they now make it 9 to 3. Why? The place is set up to be completely safe, and restaurants and other businesses can be operated in a completely safe manner. We should go by the science from this point forward.
So would your short answer be yes or no?
Yes, we need to evaluate what's happening in this town and find a way to help people and businesses. And actually, you know, there's so much money in this town right now. You could probably send every taxpayer a $200 check.
Same question
for Mr. Gilbert.
Yeah, thanks. In general, I believe that we should help any businesses that we can. Businesses create jobs for us. Businesses create places for us to shop and dine locally. We want to encourage people to shop and dine locally. And if we can help a business, we should help a business.
Okay. James from the Mariner, you had a follow-up question.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Christine. Thanks, Kevin, for that, too. So there's a warrant article on the upcoming town meeting warrant about extending the outdoor seating and lifting of restrictions on restaurants through December. Currently, it's through the governor's state of emergency and until that expires. But there's been a number of accommodations for local restaurants that have made it easier to bring in business during the pandemic. Do you think those are ways that could be made permanent in order to continue to stimulate business for those restaurants and other businesses?
Let's start with Jim.
Sure. So I think you're referring to some of the changes in the zoning allowing outdoor seating. So I think those are going to be temporary measures. Once again, I'll go back to what I said before. Our businesses have been devastated. We need to support them. A lot of these businesses in town are family-owned businesses. They need our help. All right, this is no cause of their own. If we can give a zoning change for a temporary period of time to allow them to get back up and running quickly and better, I'm all for that.
Can you outline some other specific ways that you would help the town could help support those businesses?
Support the businesses? Well, there could be ways that you could look at some type of tax abatements. I don't know if it would be kind of permanent. They'd have to pay it back later as they get money back. I know the Chamber of Commerce did something I was very supportive of. They sold carts during the close down, which I participated in, to help the restaurants have cash flow during the time. I think we should open as fast as safely possible. We're coming toward the end of this COVID, and I think it's time for us to start opening up and letting people get back to normal.
Joe?
Well, this can't be done without looking at what's happening nationally, what's coming from the federal government and from the state. First, we've got to do that, and like I said before, we need to meet with all the different boards and committees to see what's feasible. As far as the zoning article for the town meeting that's coming up a week from today, by the way, for all you folks out there.
Thanks for the reminder.
It's kind of strange that they go through this process of requiring a zoning change to allow outdoor dining and meeting, yet on some more critical and big issues, they don't seem to take zoning issues that seriously. But in general, we do have outdoor dining at several locations now in Marshfield. I think I need to know more about that article because we already have outdoor dining allowed at places like the Marsh and down in Brent Rock, at Station 8, for example. No plugs here, just letting people know that I'm kind of familiar with the layout. So I don't know what more this is going to involve. I do know, as being an active participant in the Brent Rock revitalization study,
thank you.
That is an issue that's coming up.
And if there's something that you didn't feel like you got to answer fully during your questioning here, you can always use that as part of your closing statement. Just reminding folks, you're listening to a political forum. The town is Marshfield. The race is for the select board. We have two candidates for an open seat, Jim Kilcoyne and Joe Pasevich. I've got a question for you, gentlemen. It's two parts. Part one is, tell me what your definition is of the DPW enterprise account. And part two, what should be done with it, if anything? Let's start with Joe Pasevich. First, give our listeners a definition of the DPW enterprise account.
Well, definition is defined under state law. And for most people, I think there's been so much discussion about it, and I have been one of the people in the lead to bring about accountability and education of the public on enterprise funds. Most people understand it as you pay your water, sewer, and trash funds, fees rather, and these go to the operation of those three enterprise activity areas, water, sewer, and trash. The town, because outside of water, sewer, and trash departments, the town does some work in support of those enterprise funds. For example, the town clerks or the town treasurer will send out the bills. They're entitled to get a piece of some of those enterprise fund receipts. But what has happened in the past and is continuing now is that the selectman and the town administrator and the treasurer collector's office has been rather arbitrary in the amount of money they take. These are called indirect costs, without justifying them before the DPW board. It's the DPW board's fiduciary responsibility to know exactly where that money's going, and they have not been observing that and respecting the DPW's board.
Okay,
so in the sense, the general budget is being balanced off of the ratepayers.
So the second part of the question is, how do you think this should be handled? Anything different? Anything the same?
A formula or estimations in terms of indirect costs and what offset numbers are, there should be like basically a line-by-line full accounting for each and every transfer of money between those funds. There is an article at town meeting that deals with this. It says that there shall be an audit of the enterprise funds every year. We passed an article at special time meeting a few years ago mandating a one-time standalone audit, and the selectmen refused to implement it. So now we're going to make a change to the bylaw. I'm a proponent of this. It's going to require a regular annual audit of those funds and how they're distributed.
Okay. Same question, Jim Kilcoyne. First part, you get a minute to define the enterprise account, and then second minute to talk about you think it's being handled the correct way, the incorrect way, what you would do with it or not do with it.
So in direct regards to Article 18, indirect charges for transfers for enterprise. So enterprise accounts sounds like a fancy word. All it is it's a user fee. It could be trash. It could be sewerage. It's a user fee that goes into a special account. And indirect charges to an enterprise account, all they are is shared costs. Shared costs are extremely common in business. I had shared costs in my departments that I ran, all right? Shared costs are also extremely common in the public side. Public and private isn't that different. So what they're basically talking about is these departments, DPW, is charged a shared service cost. They use legal fees. They use HR. They use maybe planning in some side. So there's all these shared services that are in town hall. Each department has to pay their fair share, all right? So what it's saying here is the other way to do this is right now we have a very complicated formula for $1.6 million in enterprise, I think, money from DPW. It takes about 16% of the town financials office's time just to calculate that. It's out of a $100 million budget, it's ridiculous. Going to further line item, it would just disproportionately take up too much time. Why couldn't we use an approach like other sister towns do? Norwell uses a flat 5%. Done. Shared costs, shared services are a flat 5% for everybody on all revenue in the town. By the way, this town did receive an award from the state as one of the top 10 best finance run towns in the state.
Okay.
I respond to that.
Okay, 30 seconds.
I don't know where this idea about the best finance town comes from, really. I mean, the town is swimming in receipts and funds. It's almost a sin. And again, this idea of flat formulas and percentages, it doesn't help the situation where, for example, our town administrator is taking 70 or 80% of his salary from enterprise funds without any justification. He's not out there working for water, sewer, and trash.
Okay. Any follow-up questions with this? Okay. Let's go to James again from the Mariner.
Absolutely.
Questions for candidates?
Sure. So hindsight being 2020, if you had been on the select board a year and a month ago, are there things you would have done differently in addressing the pandemic than the current board did?
Let's start with Jim.
What I would have done differently. Well, first of all, that's a hypothetical, so I wasn't there, so I don't know what I would have done different since I wasn't there. It's always easy, I think, to criticize people. During a very difficult situation, that this is the largest pandemic we've had in 100 years. It is the largest economic disruptor since World War II. So a lot of people were just trying to figure out what to do to keep our businesses going, keep our kids in school. Were mistakes made? Yes. It's very easy to look back and say, hey, you made a mistake here, you made a mistake there, but it's harder when you're the person actually making those decisions with other agencies and government agencies telling you, federal and state, you have to do this, you have to do that, and try to figure it all out at the local level. So to answer your question, I'm sure there would be opportunities that I might have done things differently, but it's not really my place to criticize, I think, what they did.
Same question, Joe.
Well, to start with, the town administrator and the selectmen did a terrible job in terms of keeping the public informed. They were issuing policy statements and commentaries and a lot of the fear porn about numbers, you know, 5,500, whatever. And it was disjointed. It wasn't consistent. It was irregular. They did a really bad job of communicating to the residents what was going on. That's the main thing right there. Secondly, they didn't engage the expertise and thereby seek out the science on how to deal with this. And thirdly, they issued edicts and emergency policies that had no basis in law or any real purpose behind them. We have an emergency. We need to control personnel in town under this emergency edict. Well, for what? They didn't say. It's just that everybody, they were running around waving their hands, emergency, emergency, without being clear and consistent and without having some sort of goal in mind.
Okay, thank you. That was Joe Pacific. 30 seconds, sure.
Yes, thank you. So I'll be very brief on that. I think one of the most important things at the time, a lot of people were confused. Absolutely. I think the officials were confused. The people that were telling the officials, they didn't know. This is a huge disruptor. But I can tell you one thing is that I am very proud that this town opened up a COVID center at the Marshfield Fairgrounds, anticipated the needs, bought the freezers, rented the tents, set up everything at the town fairground to make it easier for our citizens to be able to get vaccinated should they want to get vaccinated safely.
Okay.
You want to talk about the COVID center? Because we can go into that.
Well, I'm going to go to Charles Matthews, okay. And he's got the next question, and he'll decide what the question will be. Thank you.
I want to talk about seawalls. You both said that you support rebuilding seawalls. Neighboring Duxbury spent millions of dollars on repairing a seawall up to the Marshfield line. What do you think needs to be done with Marshfield's seawalls? Joe?
I've always been an advocate for seawalls, revetment, and other shoreline protection measures. We can talk about global warming, we can talk about sea level rise, but the bottom line is that our shoreline is eroding. If you go to Cape Cod, no seawalls. They know Cape Cod is going to be gone, okay? This is a natural process. This is nothing to panic about. It's something to manage. Right now in Marshfield, we've got three main areas that need to be done, and then we're basically set. That's Ocean Bluff, the revetment project, Brent Rock, and Bay Ave Green Harbor. The funding is there. I know there are more. I'm in regular contact with people that know about these things. FEMA is going to be, and the federal government will be coming up with more funding. There will be more state funding and matching grants. So I'm all in favor of going ahead with that.
Same question, Jim.
Yes, there's different approaches. I mean, the biggest probably long-term issue we have as a town is addressing sea rise. We're a coastal community. A lot of our town is in flood zones. And these barriers do protect the town. They are going to be one of the more expensive parts of our budget in the next 20 years. They could be up to $40 million. We might want to look at different alternatives because everyone knows, if you're in conservation, that when you put a revetment in or a seawall in, actually the nourishment for that beach goes away because now you're a hardened structure. So they actually contribute to their own demise to a certain degree. So we might need to look at beach nourishment. We might be able to look at soft solutions that they're coming up with where they're placing hard riprap a little farther out that breaks down the energy of the wave. So I don't see any way that we cannot protect our coastline. So I think we're going to need to do that. But we might want to look at different alternatives as they become available.
Okay.
And I see the environment.
Before we go to a follow-up question, we're going to take a quick break here for a couple commercials and be back. You're listening to a political forum right here at 95.9 WATD.
The ability to combine your physical and mental well-being with a simple over-the-counter remedy has arrived. From Fuse Health CBD products. Locally sourced in New England, Fuse Health delivers completely natural, organically grown, 100% hemp-based CBD products to your door. Nurture sore muscles and joints. Enjoy a better night's sleep. Visit fuse-health.com to learn which edibles, tinctures, topicals, and oral sprays might work best for you. Visit fuse-health.com.
Stewart Painting understands difficult times our country and you and your family are facing. Hi, I'm Sheldon Stewart. I'd like to assure all of our customers that all of our employees are practicing responsible distancing and sanitizing practices. If you're looking for an alternative way to receive a quote, other than meeting with one of our sales reps, we now offer a virtual quote option. Go to stewartpaint.com and choose Get a Virtual Quote Now. Create a video of your project, send it to our sales team, and receive your quote the same day. If you want to get pricing for an interior room, kitchen cabinets, house washing, exterior painting, just go to stewartpaint.com and schedule your virtual quote today. That's stuartpaint.com. And remember, Stuart Painting. Expect the best.
WATD's Political Forum continues now. Back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
Good evening and welcome back to Studio B here with the race for the Marshfield Select Board. We were just going to a follow-up question for our two candidates here, Jim Kilcoyne and Joe Pasevich. Charles Mathewson, our reporter, what was the follow-up question you had for the candidates?
I asked each candidate about seawalls, and when Jim was responding, I could see our former environmental consultant candidate, Joe Pasevich, shaking his head, so I thought I would give him the 30 seconds now.
It was in response to what Mr. Kilcoyne said about how seawalls cause more erosion, or words to that effect. And that's simply not true. It's a theory. In some cases, it may be, but it's generally not the case in Marshfield. So we need to put up those barriers. That'll buy us the time to do what we have to do. And as far as, again, sea level rise goes, what, a millimeter a year? Okay, that's the rate is right now. This is debatable, and it shouldn't be used as some sort of a scare tactic. And talk to Joe Rossi in the Massachusetts Coastal Coalition.
Thank you.
They know more about this.
All right. Did you have any other follow-ups, Charles?
Ixnay.
Okay. Well, thank you. Kevin Tonchi, questions for the candidates.
A new police station is currently under construction. What is the town's next pressing need or capital project, and would you support such an endeavor?
Go to Jim.
I know that there's $2.5 million worth of capital budgets projected for this next year. As I spoke before about maintaining our debt levels, so we have to make sure that we maintain our debt levels at the current level, not grow faster than 3%. Currently, the town has a three-year average of growing 2.6 with inflation of 2. So the government is pretty all under control from the spending-wise. I think we're going to have to look at definitely the fire department. Also, the town of Marshfield's population is changing. Within 10 years, 50% of the town of Marshfield will be 60 years old or older. So we have to start thinking about shifting our resources to support that population. I think it was a very important project that we did for the Aging Center, which everyone knows you never use short-term cash for long-term projects, even if you have it. And so those are some things that I think we need to work on. I know that we're also investing in, from a capital budget side, solar panels, and they project those solar panels will save the town $20 million.
Okay. Question?
Well, I don't know where that figure of $20 million for solar panels comes from. But right on my mind, the first thing in my mind is sidewalks. The town needs to get up on their sidewalk program. It's been delayed. It's been put off. It's too long. We need sidewalks on Webster Street. We need sidewalks on Winslow and Standish desperately. But in terms of bigger numbers, seawalls, definitely. As far as the fire department goes, the main fire station, I would love to be able to sit down with the people running the fire department right now and develop some sort of long-term plan, because that is going to be a concern.
Okay. Police departments, there's been a lot of civil unrest in the past year. This is something we've gotten into just about every political forum here in Marshfield. How do you feel about policing in general and police specifically in Marshfield? Do you feel that we should defund, defend, or something else with the police department? Jim?
Oh, sure. Kilcoyne. Okay. We have almost a nationwide class chief of police in this town. Chief Tavares has done tremendous work in this town. Under his leadership, there's not been a weapon fired. There has not been one action lawsuit for anyone's rights being violated. There's never been an actual use of excessive force. And they've never been in the news for any type of racial issues. I think the citizens of this town and the Marshall Police Department have mutual respect for each other. The chief instituted for his men, the first in this area training to deal with people with autism, adults with Alzheimer's, and also he started a dementia-friendly program for his offices. In addition, Chief Tavares started a outreach program for chemical dependents. In the past, if some people were together and someone started to overdose, they'd throw them in the car and dump them off in front of the fire station, or worse, they would just leave them. So they've changed the way that they police. And what happens is it's a Good Samaritan law that you cannot now be arrested for helping that person.
Okay, so no changes to Marshfield Police. Okay.
No.
Joe, what do you think about the police department? Defend, defund, change, thoughts?
Well, you know, again, sometimes I think we get overrun over this national narrative that we're bombed, that we're all individually in this town are being bombarded with day after day after day. And it really is disconcerting, to say the least. In general, as far as the local police department goes, we need to defend them. At the same time, we also need to recognize when you put a badge on, it doesn't mean you automatically command respect and honor. So the police department is under the control of civil authorities. They do have to be accountable. But at the same time, as a selectman and as an individual, I am a strong advocate for the best training and the best possible treatment for our police officers in this town, as well as our other first responders. So I am an advocate, strong advocate for the best equipment and the best training that money can buy.
Okay, so no real changes then for the police department?
No, I mean, there are isolated incidents here and there mm-hmm. that are questionable. And I wish the chief would, if I'm a selectman, I'm going to be looking forward to some very frank discussions about some of these incidents.
Okay.
I'm in regular contact with the people. I hear all kinds of stuff. And I'm not saying bad things are happening. There are some things that should be talked about and reviewed.
Okay. Let's go to our next question. James
sure.
from the Mariner.
Great. Thanks. Joe, you've said over a couple responses that you were looking to increase public participation, especially as far as public comment and debate goes in the selectman meetings themselves. Beyond somehow increasing the amount of people participating in there, are there ways that you would work to increase the public's interest in what the government is doing and their participation there? Obviously, you know, it doesn't take much to look at the number of people who are voting in the elections to see that the turnout is not particularly high. And sitting in many of those meetings as a reporter, it's not like there's a ton of people clamoring at the doors over the years. So are there ways that you would work to get people more engaged and more interested to the level like you are?
You know, for over 15 years, I've done cable TV. I've produced and hosted cable TV shows. And for many, many years, I used to lug cameras to various meetings to record meetings and then play them on the air on cable TV. So I'm doing all that I can. I want our leaders, so-called leaders, selectmen, to step up and make themselves available to show that they really are interested and really caring. The same thing with our chief of police, with any of these officials. Have forums. Have discussions, institute public participation in all the various boards and committees. I'm looking for ideas, but I know I'm doing my part, and you should be doing as the Fourth Estate your part. We used to have 2-3 newspapers in this town. The coverage in the Patriot Ledger and other papers is terrible. It's just not there. Look at the size of the newspaper. I have newspapers from the 80s and 90s, pages and pages and pages of local coverage. You know how it's going,
yes.
All right? So online services, too. More openness to different opinions. I want a diversity of opinions to be expressed.
Thank you.
Same to
please.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up because I think this is an aspect of the town that definitely needs to be addressed and try to get a fix at. I know a couple of years ago this failed. We did a charter change. I think a charter change is appropriate. I think it's going to increase accountability. It's going to increase efficiency. It's going to continue this the financial situation in the town. I know people say this is a pure democracy and it's one hand, one vote, all this at town hall. Well, that's great if people participate. Okay, at town hall meetings, we tend to have 5% of the population attendance. Okay, for general off main, you know, national votes, 10% of the town. So that means 10% of the population is running 90. That is a huge issue for this town. We need to get people more involved. And what happens is that at the town meetings, you have this small group of people that have personal agendas that will show up, and then you're having these small groups and 5% of the people actually making all the financial and legal decisions for the town.
Can I respond to that briefly?
30 seconds.
Why don't people participate is a good question. We could talk about it all night long. They don't participate because they're routinely kept in the dark and lied to by our officials. I could go over dozens of instances of that and where I called them out. I could tell you how many times I filed freedom of information, public records requests, violations in open meeting law. It's incredible what's happening in this town. We need a selectman in there who's going to represent the people and be aware that the people are the ones in charge and are paying the bill.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to Charles Mathewson now. Questions for the candidates?
Jim Kilcoyne. Joe Pasevich here has said that you call him a complainer, and you haven't responded to that accusation, so I'm asking you to.
Sure. I think it's self-evident. So I don't know how to explain it any better. You know, there's doers and there's complainers. All right. I was always taught in my business career, when you see a problem, you go after the problem, you analyze the situation, you analyze alternatives, you speak and get information from others for other ideas, and then you go after and solve the problem. All right. If you're not part of the solution, then that's complaining. It's all right to bring up ideas and to challenge things. That's important in a democracy. It's important in this town, all right? But you have to be willing to participate. I have spent the last 6 years with over 2,500 votes trying to help the people of this town get private property approved, all the projects, while respecting the environment of this town. I am participating. So I think it's self-evident.
I'd love to respond to that.
Yes, Joe.
I've got a list of at least 30 issues that I actively participated in where I actually had to put myself on the line and stick my neck out, filing court fees, filing appeals, including of Conservation Commission decisions that were just not based in rule. I have at least 30 issues, and I'll put them on my website, and people can see how many times I was involved in different issues around this town, whether it was the Beacon 40B project, the Maryland Street project, the Wrexham Public Beach issue, the train contract that was brought to town meeting that was outrageous, and we luckily brought people together to defeat it. The institution of charter changes, which I led a fight on.
Why are you calling him a complainer?
Because he thinks I'm just making noise and not doing anything. If you could look at any one of these 30-plus issues that I've been involved with, and I could tell you what I had to go through to stick my neck out, go to court, go to hearings, and fight for the town's environment rather than giving it lip service, then you would know that I'm more than a complainer. I'm a doer. And the problem is you get a lot of opposition from officials in this town when you do something that goes against their agenda. You're labeled a naysayer and a complainer. And he's just going to be a continue. Mr. Kilcoyne is just going to continue this for the group that's in control in town hall right now.
Do you want to respond to that?
Well,
30 seconds?
Certainly.
Okay.
Yeah, Joe's trying to make it sound like I'm some type of insider or something like this. There's some mass conspiracy within town.
Boy. Okay, let him finish.
Within town hall to achieve some objectives. There's not. Because I volunteered my service as a conservation commissioner, because I was elected for my abilities by my peers to become their chair, I ended up working with all different departments within the town. The commission works with all different departments. You have planning, board, zoning, legal, engineering, all right? And just because of my work for the conservation commission, I got to know these people and their respect. Does not mean I'm an insider. It just means I did the job.
Okay.
And
thank you.
And I know all these people, too, and I've had to work with them. And I work with a lot of citizens to get these issues resolved.
I didn't give you 30 seconds.
Sorry.
That's okay. Kevin Tachi, questions for the two candidates.
Absolutely. I'm torn which one I should ask, but August, what would you be in favor of? Would you be more in favor of another major residential development or more adult recreational marijuana retail shops and grow facilities?
Who do you want to start with?
We'll start with Jim.
Okay. So the two options were what I have?
Residential developments.
Residential development.
Right.
And
adult recreational marijuana retail shops and grow facilities.
All right. So we're basically talking about business growth and residential growth.
Correct. I'm in favor of both.
All right. There's nothing wrong with having more houses in the town. Enterprise Park is a place where citizens have actually talked about increasing higher density housing. It seems to be the thing that the citizens of town want right now. We don't want to necessarily increase the density of this town. We want to keep it a maritime community and keep the same feel. As far as businesses in general, I'm not going to pass a judgment on what type of business should or should not open in my town if it's a legal business. So if they're going to provide revenue to the town and provide a place to shop, there's no dining, I don't think, and pay out their taxes, I would be for all type of development like that.
I ask that question because if you look at any of the Marshall threads that usually they can be endless when people are fighting about whether there should be a new residential development or if there should be another pot shop in town. So same question to Mr. Pesevich.
There's room for more residential development in town, but to do that, you've got to make sure the conservation rules and regulations and the zoning rules and regulations are applied uniformly and fairly and equally, which they are not right now. That's the problem with the Conservation Commission and the Zoning Board. As a selectman, I'll appoint the right people to those boards to make sure those rules and regulations are applied equally and fairly to contractors and to small businesses and residents. There is room for more residential development, but we need to make sure the rules are clear, that they understand how to build, how we want them to build in terms of making everything compatible with our environment. As far as marijuana facilities goes, I don't think we've really gotten to that point where we know what the demand is going to be yet. There are rules that have loosened up what you can do in terms of having a couple of plants in your own house. We really don't know where that market's going to go right now. So I'd like to wait and see.
Well, there are communities that are discussing delivery systems now. So, that could be the next evolution.
You mean like drones and stuff like that? Or
I'm not saying Amazon's flying by your house anytime soon, but it's a possibility there could be. You know, you got Uber Eats, you could have someone who's delivering marijuana.
I'm a free enterprise person, you know, but I also want to protect our environment.
Okay. I want to ask you both about affordable housing in Marshfield. Whether it's 40B or another type of project, what needs to be done here? Let's start with you, Joe. Affordable housing in Marshfield.
I think I've been an advocate for the reform of MGL 40B for many years. I was very active in the statewide campaign to reform 40B. Inspector General Sullivan at the time called 40B the biggest scam in Massachusetts history, and I absolutely agree. As a selectman, as an elected official, we need to bring pressure on our legislators to reform 40B. 40B reform laws are routinely tabled and shelved and shunted aside up at the State House because as selectmen, we need to be more active and put more pressure on our legislators to actually get the reforms done. There are many measures that I advocated for and that I fought in this town regarding 40B. I fought against the housing plan, which would have built 70 units a year in Marshfield. I led that fight and defeated it at town meeting. There are measures for inclusionary zoning, for age-restricted zoning, all things that I supported and participated in supporting. So let's go more in that direction. Let's make affordable housing projects compatible with our environment so that they don't impact our quality of life.
Okay, thanks. Jim Kilcoyne, same question. What needs to be done with affordable housing or for affordable housing in Marshfield?
Affordable housing is not just a Marshfield problem. It's a nationwide problem. It's a state problem, and thus it is for us as well. 40B has its issues. I think everybody acknowledges that. Could it be looked at and revised? It probably should be. But in the meantime, we have 40B. And in general, I think it's good to have a community not to have a monoculture. I think it's good for a community to have diversity in ethnicity, race, economics. I think it's healthy for a community, and this helps people. You can imagine, say, someone getting out of college. They're going to be a teacher in Marshfield schools. It's not a huge pay. All right, we are a fairly expensive area of the country to live in, and it would provide a great opportunity for someone like that to have that low-income housing, all right, to be able to afford to live in the town that she actually or he actually works in.
Can I respond?
Sure, 30 seconds.
Are you saying, is Mr. Kilcoyne saying that 40B is about race? That's what he's making it sound like. He's making it sound like we have to have 40B
is that a question?
Well, it's a comment, really. Mr. Kilcoyne is saying 40B is about race, and that's a racist thing to say.
Okay.
There are a lot of people in need of affordable housing, and we need to start by first making this town an affordable place to live, and that means controlling taxes. Okay. As far as other people that are definitely in need, I worked hard to fight against the Beacon 40B, and what they ended up with was a facility that everybody out there, from what I hear, enjoys and loves.
Okay, that was 30 seconds. Jim Kilcoyne, do you want to respond to that?
If I just may for a second. This is what happens here, okay? So that's a gross manipulation of what I said. All right,
Let him finish.
It's a gross manipulation of what I said. I said that we want to have diversity of all types, okay? I gave some examples. You can't say anything, Joe, now, and you're going to turn it around, make someone seem like, it's kind of low, but
The question was about 40B. And he brought race into it.
Anyway, I think you're both asked and answered. Charles Mathewson, question for the candidates?
Let's talk about money. There seems to be a basic disagreement between the two of you. Jim Kilcoyne, you feel there's enough room for capital budget. Joe Pasevich, you say the town has too much money.
Not too much, but a lot.
A lot. Okay. So which is it? Let's start with you, Joe Pasevich.
This town, under Prop 2.5, some people say, oh, that's limiting our ability to increase our overall tax assessment. It actually works the other way. It's a guarantee that the town will bring in minimum of a 2.5% increase in our overall tax base. And in actuality, it averages well over 3%. There's been so much new growth, and the new growth factor plays into that in this town. The revenues from new development and redevelopment in this town and the revenues from local fees and from state aid are routinely much, much higher than what we're told they're going to be in this town. I don't know what the real problem is. It's not like we have like too much money, but we have plenty of money in this town.
Jim Kilcoyne, selectmen manage the budget. It's probably their main function. How do you differ from Joe's approach?
Well, the number one responsibility for a select person is financial oversight of the town. That is their number one goal. A lot of things come in front of selectmen, but that is their number one goal. I don't know if you remember 7 years or so ago, this town was $700,000 in debt. All right? They needed to change what they were doing. This town now has got its financial house in order. We lost $1.8 million in state aid during the COVID epidemic. No one was laid off. No services were cut because the town is being run well. Everybody knows you need to save. I don't know, Joe, what your definition of a wash is, but we have a 2.62% three-year annualized growth rate. State aid is $17.1 million. And our average cash is $7.4 million, which is only 6% of the budget. He makes it sound like it's a fortune. If you've only got 6% saved, it's not that much. Additionally, because of good financial planning, I think you get the tone. We're in good financial shape.
I'd like to give a quick response to that.
30 seconds.
7 years ago, we had a problem in the accounting and treasurer's departments. There were drawers full of checks that weren't being cashed. That's the crisis, okay? It wasn't like, this is being misrepresented by Mr. Kilcoyne. And as far as the town losing $1.8 million, we've already received like close to $3 million from the federal government. And I know the town administrator is going to apply for reimbursements for the COVID vaccination site. So this town is not going to be losing money due to COVID. If anything, they're probably going to make money due to COVID. And I applaud them for taking the initiative to do some of these things.
Okay. Let's go to our lightning round now. Let's start with Kevin Tachi. Lightning round questions for the candidates. And remember, it's either a yes or no answer or one or two sentences, and the reporter will say what kind of an answer they would like. Mr. Tachi?
Does the town and its officials effectively communicate not only with each other, but the residents? I would allow for one or two sentences.
Okay, one or two sentences. Okay, let's start with Jim.
No, that can be improved, both interdepartmentally and internally, externally, between the departments, including the select board and the public.
Okay, two sentences. Joe?
There's nothing keeping departments from talking to each other, you know? But as far as communicating with the public, that is the biggest problem.
Okay. Charles?
What's your favorite place in town, Joe?
I'd have to say the beaches.
Okay. Jim?
North River Spit.
Okay. James?
Have you gotten or are you planning on getting the COVID-19 vaccine?
Joe?
No, I don't plan on getting the COVID vaccine. I'd like to see what happens.
Okay. Jim?
Yes, I volunteered at the fairground and I've had both my doses.
Okay. Plymouth County government, stay or go? Wouldn't be a forum unless I asked this question. Yeah. Joe Pasevich, stay or go? With
stay.
Plymouth County. Okay. Jim?
Stay.
Okay. Charles?
Now, this is one of my favorite questions. what is your favorite bad habit? It has to be your habit, it has to be a bad habit, and you can't say being good is my bad habit.
Yeah, and no Eddie Haskell answers here. Do you know what I mean? None of those, gee, I work too hard, I spend too much time on my homework.
Joe,
real answer.
Joe, what's your favorite bad habit?
Spending too excessive time just observing nature, if that's a bad habit. I just like to look at things. I don't know if you could call it that. Plus, ice cream.
Okay. Ice cream is good. Jim?
It used to be that I worked too much, but now that I've retired for the last 2 years, so now my favorite bad habit, I guess, is that I'm not doing enough, and that's one reason why I'd like to get busier and serve the citizens of the town.
Do you see why people can never keep it as a lightning round here? It just goes on. Okay. Yeah. Jim, lightning round question.
James, sorry.
That's
okay. Joe, you just inspired my next one. Favorite ice cream flavor?
I'm sorry, vanilla.
Okay.
Vanilla. See, we agree, Joe.
Kevin Tachi?
Board of Selectmen.
Or Select Board.
Jim?
Select Board. It's more inclusive.
Joe?
Select Board, but you can label yourself Selectman, Select Woman, whatever you want.
Okay. Any more, Charles?
No, I'm all set.
Okay. What I want to do now is go very quickly to closing statements. We're going to reverse the order that we had earlier, which means we are going to start with Jim Kilcoyne and then go to Joe Pasevich. Remember, it's just 1 minute for your closing statement. So let's go to you first, Jim.
All right, thank you. There's significant differences between myself and my opponent. I'd like to thank WATD that made this evening possible and helped me demonstrate those. I've demonstrated judgment as director of two cardiac surgery divisions managing a $45 million business. The number one responsibility of the select board is financial oversight of the people's money. I know how to build a budget, I know how to review a budget, and more importantly, I know how to stay within your budget. We have challenges ahead, such as achieving growth while maintaining our identity as a maritime community. We must invest wisely in town infrastructures, Library Park, Brant Rock, Council on Aging, and seawall projects. I will call on for improving the experience of the town of Marshfield with projects such as downtown parks and the Library Plaza. Thus, I'm asking for your vote and support for my election as select board member on May 1st.
Thank you very much. That was Jim Kilcoyne, closing statement. Let's go now to Joe Pasevich, closing statement.
The most important thing a selectman does is appoint boards and committee members. We can hire, and we do have very capable financial management in this town right now. I think Mr. Della Russo knows where the money is, and he should be adequately compensated for that. Mike Maresco, as an administrator, has a lot of great skill sets. But the selectmen are the ones that set policy direction, and the selectmen are the ones that are going to be responsible for leaving Marshfield a place of opportunity, security, and liberty for our children, and affordability. And that's what I'm going to work on.
Okay, that was a closing statement for Joe Pasevich. You've been listening to a political forum here on WATD. It's for the select board or board of selectmen, whatever you prefer, here in the town of Marshfield. The election is May 1st. Make sure we get that correct date on there. Of course, WATD will bring you results as soon as they're in. This entire forum is going to be up on the WATD website, and that's going to be probably a little bit later on tonight. And we'll have select cuts of this that we will run tomorrow morning as well. I want to thank everybody who participated tonight. Candidates. It's tough to run for office. We always tell people they showed up here in studio, both with ties on, by the way. Very nice. Prepared and on time. We've got, thank you, the gentlemen here that are asking questions. We have jackets but no ties. Charles Mathewson, Kevin Tachi, James Cuskis from The Mariner. That's okay. Very attractive sweater. Larry Nelson, our engineer. Got Dylan from Marshfield Community Community Television. Well, it seems like Christmas. Amy Leonard doing our timing here. And, of course, we always tell people, get out and vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James, 95.9 WATD.
Marshfield, WPMS Brockton.
This is CBS News on the Hour.